Good morning. Good to see all of you today. The sun is shining. I know it's a little cool, but I didn't think we were going to see sun till afternoon. Sun makes it better, doesn't it? But we're all ready for springtime. I've already lost Houston. I'm just trying to get you awake. Houston, I can talk about him. He's in another world. They're having their, what they call boot camp this week, where they'll study history, especially the wars from the Civil War forward. And they camped out in tents last night. That pew must feel better than that tent did. Don't tell him we talked about him. He'll never know. The 700 Club will often discuss calamities and their causes. And it always causes an uproar in the media and a backlash. I'll be honest with you, I don't always agree. But it is interesting if there's a hurricane or a tornado or a disaster and there is blame put on the sinfulness of the culture, it causes great consternation among a lot of folks. But Jesus is told, as Paul read for us, about individuals who were making sacrifices, Galileans, and Pilate, who we know not for this incident, but because of the crucifixion of Jesus, right? That's how we know Pontius Pilate. But when you read this, you realize that Pilate's reservation about crucifying Jesus was really quite significant. Remember, he washes his hands. Do you remember that? Because Pilate is not foreign to killing people. And he's not foreign to killing people based on things other than their heinous crimes. Jesus also talks about the Tower of Siloam that fell, and 18 people were killed. One caused by Pilate, the other seems to be something natural or some structural damage. We don't know why the tower falls and 18 people are killed. But the conversation among the people of the time would have been, those 18 folks that got killed under the tower, what did they do to deserve that? Remember, it's the same discussion when they come on a man born blind. You remember that? The apostles and Jesus come on the man born blind. And their logical question to Jesus was this: who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, wasn't because of his sin or the sins of his parents. The blindness that he has is that God's glory may be shown. But there, if something bad happens, you have a sickness, a deformity, a calamity, a struggle, it had to be a punishment for sins. And sometimes yes, sometimes no. But Jesus really doesn't address that part of the issue in 13, but it sets a great groundwork for the good news of the gospel. Because as they went through, it was kind of like, if the tower didn't fall on me, it was not, whoo, I was lucky. It was, I must have been better than them. Right? They got what they deserved. If they had been better, God would have protected them. And so Jesus kind of turns that around on them. And it's really an important thing. Because all of us are interested in justice until what? It comes to us and ours, right? And then what do I want? Mercy. Leniency, right? I mean, we're that way. And I'm not talking about just with God. I'm talking about with anything. With anything. Excuse me. It's I didn't do well on that test. Why? There was a sickness in my family. something happened that we were up late the night before. I didn't feel good. I don't know, whatever the situation might have been, why I didn't do well. But what will we turn around in the next conversation and say? Well, if they'd raise the standards on these kids and make these tests a little harder, make them turn in their papers on time, we'd stop a lot of that. Is that not? But I'm late, but there was a good reason for mine. But everybody else's being late is just because they didn't do what they're supposed to do. That's where I am. You ought to drive 55, but I'm in a hurry. And I've got an important place to be, so my going 70 is justifiable. These folks looking, tire fell on them because they deserved it. And what does Jesus say to them? Jesus says, do you think that these Galileans were worse than any other Galileans? And some of them may be saying, whoo, no, because I know some other Galileans, and they're worse than that. And that's really not his point, is it? It's not his point. Or do you think that those 18 that the tower fell on were worse than anybody else, and that's why the tower fell on them? He's not trying to get them to compare them to who might be worse than Galilee or worse folks they know. Jesus is trying to make them look at themselves and say, do you really soberly and honestly believe that you're so much better than these other folks that judgment won't come to you? Not calamity, but judgment. Because that's the real question. These Galileans, what happened to them? That was God's judgment on them. The tower fell on these individuals. Why? It was God's judgment on them. And so Jesus is saying to them, do you really soberly, honestly believe when you look at yourself that you're immune to the judgment of God? And so he tells a parable. And the parable is, here's a fig tree that year after year has not produced. And so, as a gardener, what's the thought? I've worked with the fig tree. Fig tree hadn't produced. Cut it down and we'll plant another fig tree, right? It's just using up soil. But the person who'd been tending the fig tree said, give me one more year. Give me one more opportunity to cultivate this fig tree and see if it will not produce. What's Jesus' message to the people? His message to them is that all of us will stand in judgment, and if we're sober and honest, all of us are lacking to some degree. But God is giving us an opportunity to repent, to change, to become what God would have us to be. We've got another year, in the case of the parable, to produce. And Jesus' message is, don't look at those folks and say, they deserved it and I'm immune, but look and say, this gives us opportunity to realize I need to change. And that's really the good news of the gospel. The good news is not the absence of judgment. It's not the absence of giving an accounting. The good news is that we have opportunity and I need one of those cough buttons. That we have opportunity and thank you. Forgiveness through Jesus. For us to take a look at ourselves and say, I have opportunity. Let's go back now and look at Matthew chapter 4, because that's where we are as we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to learn the details later in the Gospels. But John has been arrested. John the Baptizer has been arrested. Why? Because Herod the Great's son had divorced his wife and had taken his brother's wife. And John publicly calls him out. Not only does it make Herod mad, but John makes the worst mistake. It makes his wife mad. And she ain't forgetting. and it'll cost him his head. That's the biblical story. He's imprisoned at this point. And so let's read what Matthew records for us as Jesus now has come through the temptations and now John has been arrested. I gave you, it's Matthew 4. I'm sorry, Rob. I thought you had time to put them in. And then we'll go to Jonah next. Thank you. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is in Galilee, okay? But he's going to change places. Nazareth has been his home, as far as we know, since the return from Egypt, okay? And he is moving to Capernaum. And Capernaum will be the headquarters for Jesus' ministry for the next 3 years. Now, he'll spend time in Judah, but he always comes back. Capernaum becomes now the headquarters, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. By what lake? By the Sea of Galilee. This was before Center Hill. So it's the Sea of Galilee. This is going to be a very busy place. It's going to be a larger town. It's going to be a little closer to Judah, to Judea. But he has moved to by the sea. He actually, the whole area, Galilee is only 50 miles north to south and 25 miles east to west, bordered by the Sea of Galilee. So you're never all that far from the sea. It is central to life for Galilee. Two things. There are fishermen in Galilee, fishing from the Sea of Galilee, and it is agriculturally fertile. Judea sits basically in a wilderness. It's rocky. It's not desert like the Sinai, but it's rocky and dry and okay for grazing goats and sheep, but not a lot of farming going on. But a lot of farming going on in Galilee. So Galilee, fishermen and farmers. Galilee does not border, it's just interesting history, does not border the Mediterranean Sea. And you would think it would, as close as it is, but the Phoenicians, who are a seagoing people, have come in on the sea and occupy the land between Galilee and the Mediterranean. So at this point, Galilee really doesn't go all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, although it's very close. So it's a very small land area, and he's moved. Now, Matthew, as we started, who is Matthew writing to? A Jewish audience predominantly, right? So he's going to tell us, Jesus now, as he begins the ministry, here, you know, he's been in Nazareth. Now he's beginning his public ministry. He's moving to Capernaum. And for a Jewish audience who is locked into the Old Testament scriptures, which are important, Matthew is going to tell them, and this is a fulfillment of prophecy. He's going to quote to us from the book of Isaiah. It's to fulfill prophecy, Rob. I think I missed. You were right. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what we're going to focus on for just another moment or two this morning. Jesus' message, not that different from John's, was repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John, as he expounds on the coming of the kingdom or the coming of the Messiah, because John is preparing the way for the Messiah. And remember, just a few weeks ago, John expounds and said, for his winnowing fork is in his hand. Remember that? That judgment is coming with the Messiah. Jesus is saying, repent, for the kingdom is coming. It is your opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. But to be a part of the kingdom requires repentance, requires a change of direction. It requires a looking into our own lives and saying, I'm not better than those other Galileans. I'm not better than those on whom the tower fell. judgment is coming and the kingdom is coming, and now is the opportunity to be prepared. Be prepared. Not only is there time to be prepared, but God is making a way for us to be prepared. As I've shared with you so many times before, if we don't see our own sinfulness and the cost of it, of our sinfulness, then we really don't have a great appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, do we? If we don't realize that we're sinners and that there is a cost to that, and that Jesus then paid that price on the cross so that we no longer have to face the consequences of our sinfulness, but have the free gift of eternal life through the blood of Jesus. But if I don't see the need, then if I don't see the disease, then the cure doesn't have much appeal to me. And so Jesus' message is, you need to repent, because the direction in which you are going and the way that you are living is not conducive to citizenship in the kingdom. A thief comes in the night, Jesus would say, but you be prepared. Know that at some point the judgment's coming. Jesus tells parable after parable, doesn't he? He tells about a wedding feast, remember? There are five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And the five that were prepared, when the bridegroom comes, what do? They enter into the feast. But there are five who know that the wedding feast is coming, but they don't have enough oil. They're not prepared. And so what happens? While they're out running, getting ready, the bridegroom comes and they shut the door to the hall and they're outside. They don't get to join the wedding party. So Jesus' message to them is, the kingdom is coming. Repent, change your ways, so that you can be part of the kingdom and all of the blessings that come with citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. That's Jesus' message to them. It's repentance. And so in Luke he says, look at who you are, and the same thing is true for us. What does it mean to repent? It means to change the way which we have been living. The things that we do, the attitudes that we have, when those are not following the Lordship of Jesus, we've got to change them. Because here's not what the gospel message is. The gospel message is not Jesus died that one might get a get out of jail free pass. Now what do I mean by that? If I've got a get out of jail free pass, it means what? I can do whatever it takes to get thrown in jail. All I got to do is flash the pass, right? And I'm out of jail. Does the blood of Jesus free us from the guilt of sin? Yes, absolutely. But Jesus doesn't say, I've paid the price, do whatever you want to do. Jesus said, I'm going to pay the price. But I'm calling you to repentance, for you to live differently. It does not inoculate you, insulate you from the consequences of sin. It brings about forgiveness of sins and allows you to rise above, to live in a newness of life, to live differently. Jesus calls us to live differently. I've shared this with you before, but I still remember. It's 35 years ago, at least. We had a teacher who had no discipline skills. Zero. Zip. And I can remember being in elementary and the high school boys standing out in the hall, and they got one of the high schoolers in the hall saying, why did you do this? And his answer was, because the other folks did. And I can remember the teacher asked, if they stuck their head in an oven, would you do it? And instead of ducking his head and being repentant or any of that. He said, and I can remember, because when you're in elementary, you look up to the high school guys, right? Now, the folks who follow you in school, you can't remember them, but all the folks who were above you, you remember. He said, I'd get me an asbestos hat or something. I'd fix it where it wouldn't hurt me. Well, I mean, as I look back on that, discipline had broken down at that point. Where do you go as a teacher? You know, you don't have any respect. You've lost it, but that's not my point. My point is, sometimes this is what we want from the gospel. I want to continue to stick my head in the oven. I just want God to fix it where it doesn't hurt. And Jesus says, I didn't come just to insulate you. I came to call you to a kingdom life. I came to call you to living differently. Don't come to me for free insurance. Come to me sacrificing your life that you may receive life eternally and in abundance. You're not better than these other folks. But through Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. But Jesus said it calls us to repentance. I want us to read from Jonah just a minute, from one of the prophets. Because what John was doing in preparing the way for Jesus, and really Jesus, while he was the Messiah, not just a prophet, was delivering the same message that the prophets had delivered in times of old. You remember Jonah, and we know best of Jonah that he spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, right? We sing songs about it, and we even tried the trick question, was it a whale or was it just a big fish? Right, have you ever been asked that? I'll tell you, the Bible says it was a big fish. Well, in the New Testament, it is translated whale. And, you know, as a smart aleck kid, once you get that, you just want somebody to ask you that question. So you can take them right there to Matthew where it says, it was a whale, right? Maybe y'all weren't that smart aleck, but it's plagued me all the days of my life. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. All right, we're not picking up the first. Jonah had been told to go to Nineveh. And he decides, I'm not going to Nineveh, right? I'm not going to Nineveh. But 3 days in the belly of a whale will change one's attitude. Go to the great city of Nineveh and complain to it the message I will give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city, and a visit required 3 days. In other words, to get all around the city of Nineveh takes 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. All right? They had been living unholy lives. And Jonah says, you got 40 days. You got 40 days and then there ain't going to be no more Nineveh. They believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Mourning. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Declares a fast in Nineveh. The people of Nineveh repent because they believed God when he said, judgment is coming on Nineveh. And so the Ninevites mourn. They fast. They declare for God, I'm changing. I'm changing. We're going to do what God has called us to do. It's the same message Jesus is preaching as he begins his ministry. It is one of repentance. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. Change one's ways and be prepared for the kingdom to come. It's the message for us. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about being prepared. Now, what makes it difficult? It was difficult for the Christians of the first century. That year after year after year after year after year, that things continue on, it becomes easy for all of us to become a little complacent about the kingdom, doesn't it? It becomes easy to say, well, that's something way off in the future. I don't know when Jesus returns. I certainly don't know how long my life is or how long yours is. I don't know. I don't even have a speculation about that. I know that's interesting to talk like when Jesus will come. And I do know this, it's closer than it's ever been, but you don't have to be a real theologian to know that. That's just common sense, right? closer than it's been, but don't know when it's coming. But I know this, it's coming. The kingdom is coming in its fullness. And Jesus has called us to be prepared, to change our ways, to be prepared. Here's what the scripture will say. In the days of Noah, a flood came that destroyed the earth, that changed everything. But how was life on the day before it rained? There was eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Life was going on like it had gone on before. Noah's over there building a boat, talking about a flood, and everybody says, Noah, you know, life goes on. You know, we're not, I don't know what you're talking about, but we're going to continue. And, you know, if there ever is a flood, Noah, it's just not coming, buddy. Or so far in the future, I'm not going to worry about it. And then one day, what happened? It rained. One day it rained. You know, it was hundreds of years after Noah starts building a boat. Can you believe that? I mean, it's not like it's in the 7-day forecast. Noah, hurry up and get the boat built. Noah preaches for hundreds of years to the point that everybody thought, this just didn't happen, Noah. You are wacko. And then one day it rained. And everybody who had heard Noah said what? Uh-oh. Noah had given them time to be prepared. Jesus says, repent. Change the direction in which you live and focus on God and on His Son and His Lordship, because the kingdom is coming in its fullness. And with it will come judgment. And those who have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, who have walked in faith and who have walked in a kingdom life, will receive the rewards of God. And for those who haven't, there will be punishment. And for all of us to take sober judgment and say, you know, everybody else is not worse than we are. I'd like to believe that, but knowing in my heart, no. But forgiveness is given to all of us. Jesus came to pay the price, but He calls us to repentance. He calls us to forgiveness, but He says, follow me. Change your direction and follow me. It's not just about a free insurance policy or a get out of jail free, but it is an opportunity for forgiveness for what we have done, to walk in the ways of God and to be forgiven as humans we continue to stumble. John will say, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near. Are we ready? If you need to be prepared today and you're not, won't you come while we stand and sing?